Good morning. Welcome to Christ Chapel on this beautiful Sunday in the season of Easter. A few notes. First of all, as always, each Sunday here we will celebrate the sacrament of Holy Communion. We practice an open table practice here in Christ Chapel. So if you feel compelled to participate in the sacrament of Holy Communion this morning, please know that you are welcome to do so. We will commune by method of intinction. You'll receive a piece of bread or a gluten-free wafer, if that is your choice, and you will dip it into the chalice. The dark substance on one side of the chalice is the wine, and the other side of the chalice is white grape juice. Our hymns for today are taken from the red hymnal near to you, the ELW, so please take note of that. And also, one minor worship note is that the reading for today, halfway down page 3, will not be from the book of Acts, but will be from the book of Job. With that being said, I invite you to stand and face the baptismal font as we begin our opening dialogue this day.
Early in the morning,
fearful but faithful,
dubious and doubting,
we came to the garden.
We expected only silence, but we heard the voice of angels.
We did not understand, but we found our hope rekindled.
We came to attend a corpse, but instead we encountered life. Alleluia. Watching at the cross, we see the powerful reality of a life directed by love.
Risen Jesus, as we meet you in imagination, standing in the graveyard, may fear be thrown off, our lives energized, and our feet follow yours in the service of justice. Amen.
Jesus, through your committed living and dying, you show us the possibilities of love and reveal the first fruits of your kingdom. We confess that all too often we have let self-preservation smother love and defy the rule of justice. Jesus, by your patient waiting in the tomb, you show us the possibilities of love and reveal the first fruits of your kingdom. We confess that all too easily we have let self-interest out-argue love and restrict the reach of liberation. Jesus, in your paradoxical rising from the dead, you show the possibilities of love and reveal the first fruits of your kingdom. We confess that all too readily we have let doubt keep love chained and deny the possibility of transformation. Jesus, incarnate love, committed, patient, and free. Your resurrection reminds us that the graveyard is also where life begins again. Meet us now in our places of death. Touch and transform us that our lives too might witness to the possibilities of love and bear the fruits of your kingdom. Amen. The grace of Jesus, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
be gracious and bless us. May God's face shine upon us. May your way be known upon earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth revere God. A reading from the book of Job, the 23rd chapter. If I go forward, he is not there, or backward, I cannot perceive him. On the left, he hides, and I cannot behold him. I turn to the right, but I cannot see him. But he knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I shall come out like gold. My foot has held fast to his steps. I have kept his way and have not turned aside. I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. I have treasured in my bosom the words of his mouth. But he stands alone, and who can dissuade him? What he desires, that he does. For he will complete what he appoints for me, and many such things are in his mind. Therefore, I am terrified at his presence. When I consider and am in dread of him, God has made my heart faint. The Almighty has terrified me. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
The good news from John, the 14th chapter.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Jesus answered him, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but is from the Father who sent me. I have said these things to you while I am still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. You hear me say to you, I am going away, and I am coming to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe. The good news given for you.
Thanks be to God.
Do we only love God when we perceive God as good? This is the question that has been in my mind as I work towards completing my senior thesis. My work this semester has involved reading the book of Job through Martin Luther's concept of the Deus absconditus, or hidden God. This concept is commonly translated as hidden God, but is perhaps better understood as the obscured God. This is not the God hidden and revealed in Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection, but the God who remains above all things, including Christ, completely unknowable, completely incomprehensible. This is the God that we are incapable of knowing. I have used this theology in order to shed some light on Job's experience of God as distant, unknowable, and frankly, just plain terrifying. The idea for my thesis came out of my own personal struggle to validate my experience of this very God. When I was 14, the school bus I was on was broadsided, killing 4 children and critically injuring several others, including myself. This experience deeply scarred both myself and the small community I grew up in. One would think that such a horrifying experience would have led me to abandon my faith altogether, but it did the opposite. At a time when I found myself surrounded by immense grief, anger, and suffering, my first instinct was to go back to the small Lutheran church my family attended. I soon realized that it was not just the loving community there that I sought. What I really sought was God. I was scared and angry and horrified at what my community had just experienced. At that moment in my life, God felt incredibly distant, yet I found myself filled with an inexplicable longing for God that was too strong to ignore. However, it became apparent to me that this sentiment was not widely shared. For weeks after the accident, I asked my mother, once an avid churchgoer, if we could go back. But every time I asked, she would quickly dismiss my request. I felt as though she did not want God to have me. She was angry with God for what had happened, and scared of what might happen if she let God have me. Other families had already been forced to give up their children, and she was scared that she would have to let go of me too. I struggled to make sense of this experience years afterwards. My longing for God in the midst of tragedy seemed unnatural, even abnormal. I had experienced reactions of fear, anger, sorrow, and despair within my community, all of which are to be expected in the midst of such extreme suffering. But as far as I knew, I was the only one who had the experience of feeling as though they were gravitating toward God. I wanted to be able to express what I had gone through to members of my family and my community, but hesitated to do so because I didn't have the words to articulate what I had experienced. However, in the book of Job and in Luther's theology, I have seen my experience replicated. After 8 years, I finally figured out that my experience was neither unnatural nor abnormal, but is deeply rooted in tradition. In the words of Martin Luther, we are constantly tempted to believe that God would abandon us and not keep God's word, and in our hearts, God begins to become a liar. In short, God cannot become God unless God first becomes a devil. Oswald Bayer expands on Luther's quote, God is at enmity with me as the dark, utterly distant, and at the same time utterly close power, consuming, burning, oppressively near. God hides God's self with that almighty power that works in life and death, love and hate, preserving life and removing life, fortune and misfortune, good and evil, in short, working everything in everyone. And we cannot extricate ourselves from having a relationship with God. For Luther, God's presence was sometimes more terrifying than comforting. We find the same experience of God in Job. For the psalmist in Psalm 139, God's presence is all-encompassing. But for Job, it is God's absence that is all-encompassing. The psalmist rejoices in being unable to escape God's presence, saying, "Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me fast." The psalmist marvels at the vastness of God's presence. There is nowhere they could go that God would not be. But unlike the psalmist, there seems to be nowhere Job can go where God is present. The psalmist is in wonder of God's all-encompassing and inescapable presence, but for Job, it is God's absence that he cannot escape. I'll read this passage again, because if you're anything like me at this point in the semester, you probably have the attention span of a goldfish. "If I go forward, he is not there, or backward, I cannot perceive him. On the left, he hides, and I cannot behold him. I turn to the right, but I cannot see him. But he knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I shall come out like gold. My foot has held fast to his steps. I have kept his way and have not turned aside. I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. I have treasured in my bosom the words of his mouth. But he stands alone, and who can dissuade him? What he desires, that he does. For he will complete what he appoints for me, and many such things are in his mind. Therefore, I am terrified at his presence. When I consider, I am in dread of him. God has made my heart faint. The Almighty has terrified me." Job's experience of God, much like Luther's, is not one who seeks out those who fear they are beyond God's care and compassion, but of a God who hides from those in search of any sign whatsoever that they are not alone in their suffering. I honestly wish I had heard the words of Luther and Job sooner. There have been many times where the joyous words of grace, redemption, and the promise of the resurrection, etc., were not what I needed to hear. We are quick to speak of a loving, merciful God who is slow to anger and whose love is steadfast and abounding, partly because this is the God who is easiest to believe in. We do not want to think of a terrifying and obscured God, because human nature tells us we should stay away from the unknown. And yet these are the words myself and so many others need to hear. So what do we do with this information? Today's gospel text comes from a section titled "The Promise of the Holy Spirit." Prior to the reading, Jesus makes a promise to his disciples, saying, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees her nor knows her. You know her because she abides in you, and she will be in you." This is not a promise that we won't suffer, or that God won't be scary sometimes, or that having faith won't be hard. This is a promise of accompaniment. This is a promise that the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of life, truth, and resilience, dwells in each one of us. And I believe that this resilience is what enables us to continue to love despite our experiences. Amen. Thank you.
our affirmation of faith, we believe that Jesus, God unbounded, directed by love, accepted restraint, and lived a fully human life to begin the healing of the world. Alleluia, with wonder we affirm it. We believe that Jesus, God unbounded, sustained by love, accepted restraint, and died on the cross to draw the sting of death. Alleluia, with faith we accept it. We believe that Jesus, God unbounded, empowered by love, accepted restraint, and was entombed to break the grip of evil. Alleluia, with confidence we believe it. We believe that Jesus, God unbounded, directed, sustained, and empowered by love, threw off all restraint and rose from the dead to transform the world through life. Alleluia. With joy we proclaim it. Thanks be to God. Rooted in the abundant life and love of Christ Jesus, we pray for the life of the church, the lives of people in need, and the life of all creation. Holy God, ruler of the nations, renew your call to all people. Raise up leaders who are eager to follow you into justice, love, and truth. Empower us, who are students, faculty, administrators, friends of Gustavus, to serve you and our community with faithfulness and courage and witness for the gospel. Lord of love, hear our prayer. Nourish all lands through springs, rivers, lakes, pools, and irrigation systems. Produce abundant food by the flowing of your Spirit throughout creation. We give you thanks for the recent rains, and we pray for those who earn their livelihood tilling and planting the soil in southern Minnesota and beyond. Lord of love, hear our prayer. Help us to extend your hospitality and inspire us to share the grace of Christ in places near and far. Use even the small interactions to usher in peace for all people. Lord of love, hear our prayer. Send compassionate servants to those who live with health concerns in body, mind, or spirit. Deliver your healing and peace to all in need. We pray especially for those in the Gustavus community who experience additional stress, worries, and illness as the end of the semester draws near. Lord of love, hear our prayer. We deliver all this into your care, O God, trusting in the work of your Holy Spirit to bring all things into the risen life of Christ our Lord. The peace of God is with you all.
And also with you.
Let us exchange God's peace with one another.
Thank you.
Please rise. Let us pray. Gracious God, our Father and Mother, for the labors, the love, and the care that gave us the delights of this and every day, we say, thanks be to God. For the nourishment of our spirit, the challenges that strengthen us, and the friends we have on the journey, we say, thanks be to God. For all that fills our lives, for these good gifts, we say, thanks be to God. Overflowing with gratitude, let us say, thanks be to God. Amen. People of God, people of life, we gather as a holy communion for a meal that has been shared countless times in countless places and in countless ways. The first time this meal was shared, Jesus gathered around a table with a ragged collection of people. Outcasts, betrayers, the power-hungry, and fragile, lonely, lost. The first time this meal was celebrated, Jesus promised that it was for all time, that whenever the bread was broken and wine was poured, whenever the story was told around a table, he would be there. Today we remember the story as it's been told 1,000 times over. We eat the bread and we drink the wine and we affirm that we all belong at this table and that Jesus is here. So if we come to the table angry, let this bread and wine be our peace. If we come to the table broken, let this bread and wine be our grace. If we come to the table betrayed, let this bread and wine be our wholeness. If we come to the table in despair, let this bread and wine be our life. For this is a holy table, with food to fill a hungry world and wine to quench thirsty hearts. Thanks be to God. Jesus ate with his friends, he took bread, and after blessing it, he broke it. And he gave it to them, saying, take, eat, this is my body given for you. Each time you do this, remember me. Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, passed it to his friends, saying, drink, this cup poured out for you is the promise of God. Whenever you drink it, remember me. We remember Jesus' death and resurrection, our hope and our life. We break the bread and share one cup. Thanks be to God. Let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. A reminder, we'll commune by method of intinction. Carrie will be assisting today. We will start on this side, to my right over here, and we can commune this side of the chapel first, after this side has commenced, and then we will go over here in a second. All are welcome. Amen.
Please rise.
Gracious God, generous mother of life, you supply us with good things. May this bread and wine be the nourishment we seek, and may it transform us into new creation. Amen. Each other, that the beauty of this world and the love that created it might be expressed through our lives and be a blessing to others now and always. Amen. First of all, thank you to Kiri Lawaji, our preacher, for this day. I think it's okay to clap in church on a Sunday morning. Thank you so much. Next week at this time, we'll be having a community worship service with members of First Lutheran, members of Trinity Lutheran, and also Union Presbyterian, amongst others, will be worshiping with us. Our guest preacher for next Sunday is the Reverend Joanne Sanders, who is the Associate Dean of Religious Life at Stanford University. She'll be with us next Sunday morning and also giving a lecture on sports and spirituality 1 week from tomorrow. She was a tennis coach before going into the ministry as an Episcopal priest, so we are delighted to have her, and we'll have the Gustavus Choir, Chapel Ringers. It'll be a holy circus in here 1 week from today, so we very much look forward to that. So please consider yourself invited and invite your friends, family, and strangers, if you like. With that being said, receive this sending. Jesus, love resurrected, has met us once again in the garden and touched and transformed us with life. Alleluia, with joy we accept it. Jesus' life in its fullness now calls us onward into the powerful reality. the challenging potential and the vibrant possibilities of life in his kingdom. Alleluia. With conviction, we will live it. Thanks be to God. Amen.